From meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at scaredmonkeysradio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the program. Walid Chobat is a former Muslim Brotherhood member. He's now a peace activist. It's been a while since we've had him on the program, but I encourage you all to go to his webpage. The link is in the show notes, www.chobat.com. We're going to talk about the problems in the Middle East and the recent terrorist attack in Libya. It looks like Hillary Clinton actually admitted to something today at the UN. I'm not sure about that, but it's always a pleasure to have Walid on the show. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you back, even though it's been a few years. I want to start right away with the film, Innocence of Muslims. Obama, the whole Obama administration, have been using it, the media, as a scapegoat. If you for the listeners, go to Chobat.com, you'll see one of the blogs that Walid wrote back on the 25th of September. Is titled Innocence of Muslims Film Was Made by Terrorists. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, at least we can say it's been funded by dubious character, my cousin, my first cousin, Iyad Salameh. He was involved with a man who calls himself Nakula Basil Nakula. So if we accept the narrative that the media is telling us, who do we believe? Everything that comes about Nakula is simply his lies. If he says that he spent $50,000 to $60,000 on the film, how do we know that?
Right.
Is there any evidence that that money came from his wife's family in Egypt? There's no evidence to that. But what we do have evidence is that he worked with a Palestinian who is my cousin in doing some shenanigans, in which they embezzled $700,000 to $800,000. I've known about my cousin's shenanigans, and I've known about my cousin for years. In fact, I'm the world-leading expert in my cousin. I've been talking to the FBI, to the police force, to even the Canadians finally captured him, and the Americans let him go to Palestine. They finally flew him to Palestine. In fact, Nakula Basil Nakula has a name, Erwin Salameh. Iyad Salameh, Erwin Salameh. You know, there's a connect there. There's a connect in the name of the naming convention of the company, the fraudulent company my cousin Iyad was using in year 2000, smuggling tobacco. You have this guy, Nakula, calling himself PJ Tobacco, and then he used the same company, A&M Trading. He just switched M&A Trading. And that was from 2000, the name of the company, till 2010, we know that for sure. So, also, to date, no one in the Middle East has produced a Nakula Basil Nakula family. All the other culprits, they seem to produce the family where they're born, who they are, in Egypt. If you have 1 billion Muslims upset about a film,
right,
especially when Egypt sparked this whole rioting, and the man claims to be Egyptian, you wouldn't think his clan would be figured out by now. However, when I looked at the court records, you have this Nakula Basili Nakula linked to a name, the Thomas Tanas. Okay?
Okay.
When the Canadians were investigating Iyad, asked me about the last name, Tanas. Wow, my cousin's linked to a Tanas. Nakula's linked to a Tanas. Nakula and Iyad, my cousin, are linked together in a court thing, and they're supposedly looking for Iyad, even though he's been doing his crime for 20, 30 years in this country.
Okay.
And they had a chance to arrest him, even though there's warrants for his arrest, yet the feds never arrested him. What in the world is going on? So you have some sort of all this mystery behind it, and then you find Nakula and Tanas clans. I know they exist in my village in Bethlehem. Clan Nakula, Clan Tanas, exists in Beit Sahur, Bethlehem, where Iyad, my cousin, is from. So Salameh, Tanas, Nakula all exist in Beit Sahur, in Bethlehem district, in the Palestinian areas. We've had those kind of shenanigans happen before. It's not the first time.
Right.
Americans have seen Pollywood. Muhammad Abdurra, remember that incident where the Israelis supposedly shot a Palestinian?
Yes, yeah.
Right. And you have this guy who says, I'm a Copt Christian activist.
Right.
And then he says, I've been funded by 100 Jews. Then he says, I'm an Israeli Jew. Well, my cousin held an Israeli passport fraudulently. So, and he claims to be an Israeli Jew. It seems to me this guy has been leading the whole world to think he's these two things, Coptic Christian, Israeli Jew, when the film is supposed to create anger against who? Coptic Christians and Israel. So it's just not adding up.
No.
How could anybody like that, with a, you have a Muslim fundamentalist Palestinian terrorist, you know, laying in bed with a Coptic Christian activist, and that relationship was going on for a decade. What the Americans don't know, even the guys who basically thought that they broke it and the smoking gun and all these guys,
right?
They think it was just a fling between the two. Nakula was the runner, and he's the one that kept all the money. Well, that's never been proven. Although, all the links I am showing proves otherwise. They had a link for several years, and the money had to have come from all these shenanigans that Nakula's been doing for years.
Right.
This was not his first shenanigan. This was his third shenanigan. And, you know, I know the Middle East. You know, if they have shenanigans like this, they'll put those millions of dollars in a lockbox. Nobody can know.
The film itself, and I've watched the YouTube portion of it, amateurish comes to mind. But let's, you've connected the dots, now let's talk about the timing a little bit. The Libyan attack, the deaths of the four Americans, and quickly the Obama administration blaming the video. Is it coincidental timing? Is it just, obviously the attack was planned, we all know that, but how can a government like the United States government look at something like this dopey video and try to put the blame on it? Like, passing the buck, it's just not working.
Well, the government has a lot to answer, because I have been investigating Iyad, dealing, look, I dealt with the FBI, I dealt with Terrorism Task Force, NCIC. I've dealt with the Canadians. I've dealt with the Los Angeles police for over a decade over the story of Iyad. And every time we give them the address where he's at, guess what? He seems to have escaped.
Right.
He seems to have hidden. He seems to never to be caught. When the LA police were about to catch him, they called me up and they said, we're sorry, Wally, there's nothing we can do, because the FBI called us and told us, stand down. Stand down. So there's a lot of dubious things going on here. And, you know, why is the government asking for leniency? The feds asked for leniency, even though it was his third offense. So there's something going on with the government that we're not told. Either they're becoming informants. They say they become informants. We've seen that kind of thing with Hammam Abu Khalil al-Balawi, who detonated, said he was going to become an informant. And the CIA believed him, and there was dead CIA afterwards.
Right.
So it could be possibly that's the story. But we know for a fact he said he's going to become an informant. It's in the court documents. He agreed to cooperate with the feds, and the feds said, well, by now we have Iyad Salameh, and we're going to get him pretty soon anyway, and he's going to cooperate. So Judge Snyder, give him leniency. And that's what you find. Okay. Now, no one in America is asking who are the real culprits behind all this domino effect.
Right.
Well, who's asking about Mr. Bakar of the Salafist Noor Party and his collaboration with Dar al-Hikmah, which been calling for this kind of thing for a long time? And finally, they pledged allegiance to Dar al-Hikmah to create this thing. And I have the video recording in the TV program. They said, we have failed in Great Britain. We have failed in Germany. The cartoon of Muhammad did not cause the West to change its laws. because the idea is to change the First Amendment. And that is the idea. You know, I mean, I don't understand. Something is fishy going on.
Yeah.
You have Eric Holder with the Mexican issue, with the, what do you call that story?
Fast and Furious?
Yeah, Fast and Furious. What was that all about? Is that not about the Second Amendment? And nobody's opening the books.
All right. Yeah.
And so, you know, it becomes very suspicious. Now, I'm not saying that the government's working with the Muslim Brotherhood. There's no evidence to any of that. But what we have evidence, clear evidence, is that the Salafist Nur Party has been working this out. It's sparked from Egypt. Okay? They've been trying to work this out for a while. This thing was translated into Arabic right on around September. That's not a coincidence, you see? And why would Nakula want to translate around September? So, in other words, it's intended to be posted on September, even though it was there since June, July, but translated later on.
Yeah.
So the whole thing seems to be very suspicious to me.
Planned all
that
along.
There is some sort of collaboration between the Muslim Brotherhood, Palestinian entities, and dubious characters. Iyad is the kind of guy that is known in the Middle Eastern community, is the kind of guy that you would go to get a passport, legitimate passport,
okay,
credit card, whatever you want. He's the main connect. So somehow somebody connected to this guy to do this stuff, to get the money, to do all these things. The money is involved with a Palestinian.
Let's talk a little bit, and Waleed Shobat's here. Check out his webpage at shobat.com. Let's talk a little bit about the United Nations. Ahmadinejad speaking today, and Obama giving a little bit of a speech and then walking away, not meeting with anyone. Benjamin Netanyahu. The whole thing, the perception of relations, Middle East relations with the United States at election time. Let's talk about that and dissect it a little bit, Waleed.
Well, you know, we lost the Middle East. And no one can refute that statement.
Right. Yeah.
We lost the entire Middle East under the Obama administration. Right now, it's damage control. You know, the American people are still thinking about jobs. It's the issue of jobs. And it seems that whatever the Obama administration has been doing for the last few years is to support an Islamic revolution. It's very clear. Not only from the Democrats, but also some from the, you know, rhino right. You know, you still have McCain spouting about Syria. They think that Syria is the next one that needs to be helped and aided. You have Panetta who's telling him, hey, wait a minute, we can't send weapons to these revolutionaries. Well, apparently the revolutionaries in Syria are Islamist. Americans are not thinking the Muslim Brotherhood is the second largest hub in Syria out of all places. And so it's very clear, all the other revolutions, besides Libya, it's kind of was in the verge of going either way. But all the rest of the revolution seems to be going Islamist. What makes us think that Syria is not going Islamist? Iran, on the other hand, has this whole fiasco with Israel.
Right.
You know, you have Netanyahu going around saying we must deal with Iran. And if you have the Americans don't want to even deal with Iran at this point, no one can twist the arm of President Obama to say we're going to help Israel or aid Israel. They're abandoning Israel by the day, its only ally. And they abandon also their allies. Our allies are revolutionaries in Iran that support an American government. They support what we stand for. Yet no one is thinking about those revolutionaries, and everybody seems to be jumping towards the Muslim revolutionaries. So the question is, what's going on? Why are we aiding our enemy? Is it something that we want to see the revolution, Islamic revolution, take over? Do we want to keep the Middle East in a worse situation? Or maybe the left thinks that revolutions are a good thing. The revolution is the way to go. You've seen that during Carter era.
Right.
You know, the Carter era, they were silent about the Iranian revolution when Khomeini came and took power from France out of all places. And Carter seems to be aiding and abetting revolutionaries because, by and large, they have a lot in commonality. You know, we have to come to our senses. There is something in common between Islamic revolution and the liberal left. Well, I can show you some cases in point. The Muslim and the leftist believes in the Big Bang. Islam doesn't believe in creation in a Judeo-Christian perspective. They believe that there was a big bang. It's sort of like an evolution kind of creation of some combination of some sort.
Right.
And that tickles the ears of the Al Gores of the world. You have the environmentalist issue. Islam is an environmental religion, and they've been, you know, teaching that for all these years in universities and all of these things. Al Gore quotes Abdullah Omar Latif all the time, who is the boss of Huma Abedin, who holds a job with Hillary Clinton. The infiltration in the government is all over the place. And no one wants to address it. No one wants to say the emperor is naked. And in fact, there was five from the Congress who support the idea of doing a probe. Now there's four. So less than 1% has the courage to address the issue. And 99% of the Congress are cowards. There's no other way to say it. They're cowards. The whole country, the whole system is cowering. And the more the demonstrations goes on, the more that we're going to start chipping away at our First Amendment. And that's the idea behind the whole thing.
Wally Chobat's here. He's a former Muslim Brotherhood member, and he's now a peace activist. Check out his webpage at Chobat.com. When you try to talk to the everyday, ordinary citizen that turns on the television, I don't care if it's Fox News or MSNBC or the nightly news, and they see how the media reports conflict in the Middle East. They're getting half of the story, not necessarily the right half or the left half, if you want to analyze it that way. How would you describe the situation the way it is now to someone in their living room, if you had a chance, Waleed, and actually you're getting that chance right now? And how do you tell them how important it is to the United States to watch the situation the way it is unfolding right now?
Well, I mean, they should stop watching the media as a whole. Right. The media in the West is geared towards an agenda, always. You know, even if I watch Fox News, I'm not that fond of Fox News either, because if I go to the Fox News and I do a research on Saudi Arabia, it's very little to be said about Saudi Arabia, because you have 7% by Prince Al-Waleed purchased, you know, shares of Fox News. You know, you look at CNN, the whole thing is just a joke. BBC, all of it is a joke. I think people need to start focusing on the narrow gate. They got to do their own research. And that's the problem. If I do a 10-page research, no one wants to read it. It has to be 1,000 or less. So it's coming to a fast food kind of a society and a culture. And that's the problem. You know, people want to be fed. They just don't want to do any homework. And so, the American people doesn't see the facts. I made a video with YouTube from YouTube, published in the Arabic language, to show you what's going on in Syria. You have a guy flinging a head after chopping it off, throwing it in the side of the road. You have lynchings in squares with the entire communities, you know, crying Allahu Akbar. You have demonstrations with all black flags and everything else in Syria. And you have a dictator, Bashar al-Assad, say, hey, you Americans don't have the full scoop. He's right.
Yeah.
You know, you have the Christians in Syria crying out, say, hey, please leave the same system the way it is, because what's coming ahead is going to be much worse. We're happy with Bashar. And no one is really relating any of the views on the ground. They're simply relating the views of the terrorists. You know, so the whole thing is just, there is no real honest media anymore.
Yeah. That is true. That is true. And when you look at it, but you look at the social media aspect of it now, we'll go from the print and television and all that to the internet. And we've talked about YouTube. We've talked about the blogs. You have one. I have one. We all have one. What about how the social media, the blogs, the internet, so to speak, is covering the story?
Well, it depends on what media you're looking at. It seems like the blogs are mostly either right or left, you know. You know, I look at some of the left stuff. It seems that they adhere to whoever big name is out there, and they say, so-and-so says something, it must be true, and that's it. And they believe it 100%. They don't do any examination. I was giving an example about Ilarion Cappucci, who my cousin was involved with, and somebody in the left says, you know, this man is an old, frail man, and plus... Chris Hedges says Waleed Chobat is a fraud, so it must be true. So, you know, so if somebody has a Pulitzer Prize and says something, that's the God. They elevate men as gods and they begin to believe whatever they say. In other words, it becomes a collective mentality. similar to the mentality in the Islamist world. And that collectivist mentality becomes very easy to gear. One person with a name begins to gear the entire masses in a way. And that's what we see now. We see an American, you know, country that is, you know, you have a population that doesn't want to pay the taxes. They want the government to give them handouts. They're afraid of the rich man because the rich man is a bad guy. And they're being controlled, you know, very easily stirred into saying the government will do everything for you. You know, it's very simple. I lived in America long enough to realize there's the haves and there's the have-nots. And the have-nots want to have what the have has. But there is an opportunity that we all can have, but it seems that this is dissipating by the day. And the minds are geared from the university campus all the way down that we need more government, and that's absolutely false.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Lee Shobat, Shobat.com, thank you, sir. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. No, Waleed Shobat is a he's a former terrorist. He was a Palestinian, PLO. I think it was 2009 or 2008, whenever it was that I had him on the program last. But I find it fascinating to see the trouble in the Middle East, to see how the Obama administration is handling it, blaming it on the YouTube video, to see how the mainstream media is covering it. Blaming it on the YouTube video. Really, the folks out there, whether they listen to this program or watch it or read the blogs, Scared Monkeys or Wall Eats themselves, are getting the real story about what really happened. It's easy to figure out what happened in Libya, the ambassador and the other Americans to get killed. If you sit down and you think and use some common sense, this dopey video gets posted. What perfect timing for something like that to happen and to have a dopey government like the Obama administration try and blame what is clearly, in my opinion, and many others, a terrorist attack on this video. Are they all in cahoots? Do you connect the dots? You heard Waleed. Is he right? Is he wrong? Well, I'll let you decide. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. I'm Dana Pretzer. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with an interesting guy. His name is Wayne Allen Root. He was the 2008 Libertarian Party vice presidential nominee. He's a best-selling author. He does a lot of work with the Tea Parties. He's on all the cable news shows. And I want to bring him on and talk a little bit about politics, the election coming up in the United States here for president, all the political coverage that's going on out there, and how it will affect not only the United States, but Canada and the Middle East, and how important are these topics that we've been talking about here. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a minute here on Scared Monkeys Radio. Okay, we're back. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. Wayne Allen Root is one of the most dynamic, charismatic, colorful, passionate, fiery, and outspoken liberal conservative political personalities in America today. I'm taking this from his website, so he can give me heck about that. He is the best-selling author of 7 books, a regular guest on the Fox News Channel, as well as hundreds of radio stations. And tonight he is on Scared Monkeys Radio. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Hey, I only have one correction for you, Dana.
Yep.
You said the word liberal, and the word is libertarian, not liberal.
No,
in America, liberal denotes left wing, and I am as conservative as you get. I am to the right of Attila the Hun. So liberal would certainly not describe me, but libertarian conservative would very much describe me.
You know,
my understanding is correct. The leader of Canada, Mr. Harper, is similar in his political beliefs to mine.
You know, I said libertarian, but I'm sure the phone line must have screwed it up. I'm sure I would never read anything wrong like that. You know, Mike, my apologies, sir, and you're right, Stephen Harper and the Conservative Party up here. We're going to get into that in a little bit, but I want to talk, because our time is limited with you, about the UN. Here we go. Turn on the TV this morning, and there's Ahmadinejad or Dinner Gong or whatever his name is rambling away there, and Obama is blaming everything on YouTube. What about the UN? How irrelevant is it?
I've always argued. I wrote a book 4 years ago, right before Obama took office, called The Conscience of a libertarian, and it was a best-selling libertarian book here in the United States at Amazon.com. And I argued in that book that the United Nations should either be disbanded or the United States should remain a part of it but no longer allow it to be on American soil and finance it. It makes no sense. It serves no great purpose in the world anymore. You know it's a mockery when they put the leaders of terrorist nations on the Human Rights Commission of the United Nations. You got people that torture, murder, and rape people in charge of the Human Rights Division of the United Nations. It's crazy. It's insanity. It's all, you know, the earth is flat, up is down, black is white. The world's crazy right now, Dana, to be honest with you. And unfortunately, it's run by lawyers. And Obama's a lawyer. And the job of a lawyer is to know your client is guilty and get him found innocent. And so lawyers are natural-born liars. All the politicians in America, I'm not sure if Canada's that way, but in America, most of our politicians are lawyers. So they're all liars. And so, you know, the people at the United Nations, for the most part, are lawyers. And I'm a person who believes that's what's wrong with our world. That's what's going wrong, is we've got too many lawyers in charge. I think we should actually demand lawyers no longer be allowed to serve in political office because it's a conflict of interest. They create laws that benefit lawyers and screw the rest of us. So, you know, the United Nations reminds me of our government in America under Obama. It's all upside down. It's all backwards. Nothing works. If you want to know how to save America, just do the opposite of everything Barack Obama does. And if you want to know how to save the world, do the opposite of everything they say at the United Nations.
Wayne Roots is here. He is a, I'm going to get it right this time, an outspoken libertarian conservative. It's hard for Canadians to say that, you know, three quick words in a row like that.
It's hard for anyone to say that. It's mouthful.
Let's get back to the UN for a second again. Irrelevant, yeah, of course. But when we look at it, Obama blaming everything on YouTube now. Before it was blame everything on Bush. And I'm hearing he's one of the first sitting presidents that has agreed not to meet with any other world leaders during the UN and decided to go and do The View. I think he's going to be on the American Hoggers on A&E tonight.
Hey, Dana, you know what's funny about this interview? You know, I do about 1,200 media interviews a year, and most of them are obviously in the United States. A couple are in Canada. I do a couple in England. I do a couple for Russia TV. But mostly they're American. You're more honest and more observant than the American mainstream media. The American mainstream media never says a word about the fact that Obama does The View, which is our women's talk show, and he does Morning Zoo Radio, which is a format of comedians on the radio in the morning and in major networks around the United, or major cities around the United States. They call it the Morning Zoo. He does those shows because he doesn't want to be asked a single real political question. I never hear anyone talking about that in America. I never hear any of the mainstream media discussing the fact that, you know, Obama blames everyone for everything but himself. The buck never stops here. He should have that sign on his desk. It's always everyone else's fault. And so the rioting in the Middle East is, of course, the fault of a film that appeared on YouTube. And the fact that America is in economic distress under Barack Obama, the worst period since 1929 Great Depression, that's got to be George W. Bush's fault, who hasn't been in office in almost 40 years. Everything is someone else's fault, and I think it's very astute that you recognize it. Maybe it's that expert from afar theory, you know? You're far enough away that you can actually see the truth, and the media here is so close to the situation, they're completely blind.
Yeah. You know, it is something, and I make light of it a little bit, saying he'll be on American Hoggers, but it's to the point when you...
I wouldn't put by him. I made a joke once that soon you'll see the president on American Idol, and I swear to you, within 1 month of my writing that, he made an appearance on American Idol.
Yeah.
And within 1 month of that, he actually sang a little bit of a song in a State of the Union address. He started to sing a song from Motown. I mean, to me, it's the most embarrassing, disrespectful period in American history. And the people you've got in the White House are either one of two things. He's either the most incompetent man that has ever stepped foot in the White House, and he's surrounded by the most incompetent people who have no clue what they're doing, or he is the most brilliant man to ever step foot in the White House, and he knows exactly what he's doing. His goal was he set out to destroy the United States economy, to create panic, to to overwhelm the system and to frighten people into getting on their knees and begging government to save us, thereby opening the door to socialism. And you know what I think? I think it's the latter. I think he's brilliant. I think he's planned this from day one. He's not an idiot. He's not ignorant. He's not a Keystone Cop. He just acts that way, so he's innocent, and he doesn't seem like he's on a purposeful attempt to destroy the American economy. But that's exactly what I believe he's doing.
And keeping up with the analogies on some of the reality TV shows, and we have Joe Biden right out of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, that type of personality, it just doesn't seem to hurt, or am I wrong?
Well, listen, there was just a new consumer confidence study that came out, and it went up 10 points in a month. Now, keep in mind, I'm an intelligent person, I'm a businessman, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm an economist, and I'm a commentator on politics and business in the United States. As a smart person with an Ivy League degree, I graduated Columbia University alongside my classmate, Barack Obama. And as a man with an Ivy League degree who studies the economy and who lives it as a businessman and runs, multiple businesses at ground zero, as they say, I could tell you things are getting worse, not better. And there's not a reason in the world about why consumer confidence would be up dramatically from the month of August to this month. It doesn't make any sense until I read how it went up. It went up 100% based on people whose incomes is below $25,000 a year. When I say 100%, the entire dramatic rise in 1 month in consumer confidence were people in the income range of $25,000 and below. That basically means all people who collect checks from the government, people that are on welfare, people that are on food stamps, people that are on unemployment, people that are on disability. When I say $25,000 and below, that means all the people in America who live paycheck to paycheck. They might be itinerant workers or they might earn zero. They live on government checks. That's who's in a good mood and thinks happy times are here again. There was no improvement in consumer confidence with people who are intelligent, who are educated, and who make their own living without a check from government. How frightening is that? That's who Barack Obama has won over. They're fools. They have no idea how you change an economy. They have no idea how you improve an economy. They are just there to be given bribes by government, checks by Obama. So they will always vote loyally for Obama, because what's that old famous saying? When you steal from Peter to pay Paul, you can pretty much always count on Paul's vote.
Wayne Allen Root is here. Let's talk, and we touched on it a little bit, let's talk about media bias and the election coverage itself. Of course, there's Fox News. No matter what they do or no matter how they do it, they're going to be accused of slanting right. There's CNN and poor old MSNBC, whose ratings are in the tank every week. How do the people, what I like to call Joe and Mary six-pack, sitting back in their room, turning back on the TV to see something, the debates are coming up, how do they get something from the media that will make sense to them and will be fair?
Well, I think they do, to be honest with you, Dana. I think the world has changed, and the beauty is people know in America no longer count on the mainstream media for their news, thank goodness.
Yeah.
The average person may count, the average masses of people may count on the mainstream media and the morning newspaper and the evening news, but the vast majority of people that I know who are intelligent, who are educated, who own their own business, who make a high income, we now live off of the Internet, and we go to conservative websites to get our news, so we know we're getting the truth. No, it's not slanted at Fox News. It's not slanted at conservative websites. They merely report the news, and liberals think that's biased or slanted to tell the truth without having to add any commentary. It's hilarious. Just to admit nowadays how bad the economy is, a liberal will say you're slanting the news. They think the only real news is propaganda to tell people the economy is doing better when, in fact, it's not doing better. I could deliver right now some very sobering statistics that back up my point of view. There's nothing slanted or biased. It's just facts. Number one, in the month of July, in the state of California, sales tax revenues plummeted by $539 million. That's a $500 million in 1 month in one state below projections. Does that sound like an economy that's healing, or does that sound like an economy that they're covering up the fact that we're headed into a Great Depression? $500 million in 1 month, down from projections? How about the jobless rate in July? Down in, or I should say, jobs down, but the unemployment rate up in 49 out of 50 American states. The American Petroleum Institute, and at the foundation of our entire American economy is oil. The Petroleum Institute reports U.S. consumer demand for oil and all forms of petroleum products was the lowest in July since 1995. The labor force participation rate for men in America is the lowest since 1948. Obama's campaign slogan is forward, believe it or not. But when it comes to jobs under Obama, we're headed 55 years backwards. Help wanted ads have collapsed to the lowest level since the Lehman Brothers financial crisis 3 years ago, when we were on the verge, everyone admits, of economic calamity. And then the final sobering stat is that 37,000 Americans are now committing suicide annually under Obama. More, for the first time ever, more people die from suicide than die from car accidents in the United States of America. Does anyone think the economy is recovering? Does anyone believe there's no connection between all of those suicides and this terrible economy where people are jobless for years on end? I think there's a direct correlation. America's in big trouble, and suicide is just one indication of how bad things really are.
Yeah, that's something. Wayne Allen Root is here for about another 6 minutes. I want to talk a little bit about the, because I'm in Canada, as you know, the pipeline, the Canadian oil pipeline to the States. Obama stopping it because of a duck or something in Kansas that didn't want the pipeline. It is too bad. It's unfortunate. But you gotta think, you know, as Canadians, we sit back and we look at our neighbor to the south, who's really like an annoying uncle now that you don't want to show up to the party, and we're going to take our business elsewhere. Do you think under Mitt Romney's watch that pipelines and relations with other countries will improve?
Well, yeah, that's why I went from being a libertarian vice presidential nominee only 4 years ago. I ran on the third-party presidential ticket in the United States, right. And during those 4 years since then, I became the leading libertarian in the media in the United States and became the chairman of the Libertarian National Campaign Committee, and I gave all of that up and resigned all of my roles 2 weeks ago, Dana, to announce that I'm rejoining the Republican Party and endorsing Mitt Romney for president of the United States because I believe it's that important. I'm throwing third-party politics away, and I'm coming back to Mitt Romney because I believe what America needs at this moment in time is a turnaround specialist. That's what Mitt did for a living his entire life. What America needs is a smart capitalist businessman. That's what Mitt Romney is. And what America needs is someone who understands energy is the key to our future. And you've got to accept and approve the Keystone Pipeline. There is no choice. Or you're going to lose out in the energy battle to China and all of the Middle East nations that use our money to fund terrorism. It is crazy. It is insanity squared to turn down the Keystone Pipeline. We're throwing a gift back in the face of the Canadian people. It makes no sense. The only thing I can conclude once again is that Barack Obama is purposely presiding over the destruction of the American economy, because how could anyone turn down such a valuable commodity as oil coming from Canada? Crazy. And you couldn't possibly be looking out for the best interests of the American consumer if you did something like that. So let's just hope Mitt Romney is the next president of the United States and all of those decisions are reversed.
Absolutely. One last question before I let you go. Wally Chubat is a guest on the program tonight, and we're talking quite a bit about Middle East violence. But I want to ask you about the Middle East situation, the radical Muslims, all that. Again, under Mitt Romney, will we see a different reaction from the United States?
Well, listen, I don't speak for Mitt Romney, but I know he's one of the world's great supporters of Israel, as I am. And that's one of the reasons, one of the other reasons, certainly the economy, it's reason number one through number 100 for me and everyone else that I support Romney. But you know, after we get by the first 100 issues that matter, the economy and jobs, the economy and jobs, the economy and jobs, Israel's an important issue to me. They're one of our great friends and allies in the world. They're our only great friend and ally in the Middle East. They provide incredible intelligence information that's important to the United States. And I think the Israeli people are very share so much in common with the American people. And the American people show a love back to the Israeli people. And I think Mitt Romney will be the strongest possible choice to keep Israel safe and to keep the Middle East in line, you know, to keep the Middle East from turning into the kind of anti-American violence and the kind of want to destroy Israel and wipe it off the face of the mat kind of rhetoric that comes from Ahmadinejad, as you mentioned, at the United Nations today. Personally, if I was President of the United States, I would not only disband the United Nations or certainly move it out of the United States and stop paying for it, but I would have arrested Ahmadinejad on the spot when he said step foot on American soil. He's a war criminal. He's a murderer. He's a future Holocaust causer. He's a man who has screamed loudly, just like Adolf Hitler did for years, that he's going to wipe every Jew off the face of the earth and he's going to exterminate Israel. Well, Adolf Hitler did the same thing and no one listened to him, and eventually he killed 6 million Jews, and I believe it was about 20 million other people besides 6 million Jews. So maybe we ought to be listening to a madman like Ahmadinejad. He is an absolute threat to the world's safety and a threat to Israel's existence and a threat to the United States of America. He should have been arrested the moment he stepped foot on American soil and put on war crimes tribunal. So that's the way I feel about Ahmadinejad, and I hope that Mitt Romney will have a much stronger hand in how we treat the Middle East. You know, respect goes both ways, Dana. And you can't ask for respect from United States citizens and the United States government when you're willing to murder people over a cartoon or murder people over a stupid film on YouTube. You don't deserve respect. You don't deserve tolerance if your entire way of life is intolerance and murder in response to something you disagree with. There's a real problem there, and my problem with it is you don't apologize and appease people that are looking to murder you over a cartoon and over free speech. We stand for free speech in the United States of America. We defend it to its depth. Not only would I not be attacking that film, I would be saying the producers of that film that supposedly had something to do with that violence in the Middle East, those producers had every right to produce that film, whether you agree with it or disagree with it. It's called freedom in the United States of America, and you're allowed to do it, and we will defend it to its death. And, oh, by the way, in the end, Obama is the last guy to realize, how sad is that, that film had nothing to do with the violence. It was just an excuse. It was a pre-planned terrorist attack by Al-Qaeda. Everyone now admits that in the entire United States, except the President of the United States. How embarrassing.
Absolutely. Obama's mantra, pass the buck and spend the buck, that's for sure.
there you go.
Wayne Root.
Don't forget my website for your listeners and viewers who want to read more about what I have to say about American politics. It's all at root4america.com. That's R-O-O-T, 4, F-O-R, America.com.
Thank you, sir. It's been a big pleasure.
Thank you, Dana.
Take care. Bye-bye. And that's Wayne Root, rootforamerica.com. I do apologize about the phone audio. Maybe the new president can get a cell phone that finally works, a cell phone system that finally works. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I want to thank my guest tonight, Walid Shubat, former PLO terrorist. Now he's a peace activist. And Wayne Alan Root from rootforamerica.com to come on talk about politics and problems in the Middle East. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. It's been a big thrill. We'll see you again real soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.